Good morning and welcome to this week's Breakfast Podcast with Capitalize. We had a little weekly interruption, shall we say, yesterday with an off-the-cuff podcast from Kirsty at Accountex. Kirsty is still at Accountex today, so if you can hear a bit of the background noise, the hustle and bustle of accounting softwares changing the accounting industry, that is Kirsty coming to us live from Accountex. Kirsty, how are we? This is like a BBC News report.
Yeah, there's definitely a hubbub, as you would say, in the background. It's really busy. It's been fun. It's been non-stop. And still lots going on. So it's Thursday, lunchtime here. We've got another few hours left.
Always the case, isn't it? And I know you shot out a podcast update yesterday. We obviously referenced some cool new stuff that we're doing with Iris. So keep your eyes peeled for more news on that, listeners. I guess the big question, the hot topic on everyone's tongue, Kirsty, is have you gone and listened to Will Farnell do the talk about his new book? If you have, give us the crib notes.
Yeah, well, I've read his book. That's good, isn't it? Had to make sure I read it because I was planning on interviewing him yesterday anyway. There's been a lot of reference to it. In fact, Paul's also referenced it when he's been doing his talks on the various panels and theatres around the hall. So I'll come on to that a little bit more later.
Okay, well, wonderful. Wonderful. So there's more reasons to stick around for the next 10 or 15 minutes, everybody. Last week, we interviewed Simon Williams from RAC about fuel prices at the pumps and how to cut costs. If you didn't listen, then that's definitely a good one to go back and listen to. I know we've all been waxing lyrical about rising fuel costs. We actually in South Africa for the first time in forever have got diesel cheaper than petrol, which...
Well, we should have, and that was the point. We haven't here in the UK.
Yeah, we benefit here from it being a centrally controlled commodity. So the price is the same at every fuel pump across the country, which is great. Good interview with Simon. Kirsty, any apart from the diesel imbalance, anything that's come out of that people should think about or know about?
He was really good. Yeah, he was talking about the fact that the supermarkets have a stranglehold, particularly in England, not necessarily as much in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland because they're more rural and not as influenced by the supermarkets as such. So we're talking about how businesses can manage expensive fuel costs, energy, but in particular petrol and diesel, and what to do about it. So lots of nice tips in there.
Nice. And I think, you know, talking about tips, talking about being creative, talking about intelligent ways of managing costs. Let's move on to your first article, because this is on that theme around innovation and creativity and seizing the opportunity in front of you.
Exactly. And it's from a company called Bain, who we do reference quite a lot. And actually, Paul has talked about this Bain study again today in yesterday in the panel talks he's been doing here, because it's actually a really good study that Bain have done about the impact of previous recessions on businesses, and therefore how we think, not that we're in a technical recession, but as Paul's been saying, it feels like we're in a recession, how your clients can manage themselves to be some of the winners and not the losers during this economic rotation that we're going through at the moment. And so Bain have brought a new article out along similar themes, which is really about innovation. And they're saying that if a business is innovative and is happy to take a bit of a risk, then actually that's really going to spearhead and grow the business. So really worth reading it, and also going back to the main study that this has come from, which was about the impact of recessions. It's so true. You know, the thing you can see, it's human nature coming out of how business owners are reacting to tougher times. And, you know, we reckon Rachel from Preston Reeves was on one of the panel talks with Paul yesterday talking about this. And she was saying she thinks about 50% of her clients kind of at that freeze point. You know, so you've got the flight or fright session, and then you've got the freeze option where about 50% of business owners are doing nothing. They don't want to face up to the extra cost. They don't want to address pricing and have to increase their prices. They don't want to go to the market for extra funding. And they're the ones that are going to suffer for a long, long time after we come out of this period. And that's what the Bain study is all about. So it was really good to see another article coming out from Bain, because I do like to follow them.
It's listen, the innovation curve, opportunity, you know, all of those things, we talk about them a huge amount. I think, you know, there's some great quotes out there around, you know, how innovation often tends to explode in periods of hardship and trouble, right? And I often think about, there's the book Zero to One, Peter Thiel wrote it, around this concept of like how you create something brand spanking new to overcome a challenge or problem that's ahead of you. And actually that zero to one move is much harder than going from one to two to three to four to five, because that creation of the idea, creation of the product, is the hard bit at the beginning. And I think we see it in South Africa, and I love it. I'd really love to see the kind of entrepreneurial nature and approach that the businesses take in South Africa, because, you know, so many things don't work here. And so they are so used to not having the perfect line of sight on how they're going to progress. They're always having to think about, how do I make a plan? How do I deal with this emerging problem or challenge? I actually think, you know, having grown up in the UK and then kind of moving here and having to adjust to that mentality, you know, we suffer in the UK because we're so used to everything working. We always have power. We always have had controlled inflation. We've always had, you know, regulation and consistency and dependability. And so when all of those are taken away, I think there is that period of like paralysis almost that businesses go through. And you know, case in point with what Rachel was saying, about 50% of her customers or of her clients are in this like decision paradox where they can't move. You know, I will always remember this story. When we were in the middle of the pandemic, I interviewed the CEO of a company in South Africa called Veldskoen, which is a, we would think about it as like a Bondi boot, you know, like a Chelsea boot with the lace up at the front. And they are really, really popular South African brand. And because online retail shut down, they were a non-essential product, etc. They couldn't sell. And so they took all of their designers, in the business, and they launched a creative agency to keep revenue coming into the business throughout that period. And they were so successful in launching it that after the pandemic, when they were able to resell shoes, they actually kept the spin-off agency going. And I just thought that was a really brilliant story of innovation and you know, thinking about how to be different in the period of challenge. Anyway, that was my slightly random tangent. But talking about selling,
it's a mindset, isn't it? It's totally about mindset.
It is, yeah. And talking about selling, talking about trading, we're going to come on to our second article, which is about the first built from the ground up 100% organic trade deal that the UK has signed since Brexit, I think, if I read that correctly. Otherwise, discount everything I've just said, and Kirsty will say something different.
No, you're right. You're right. This is the one that's been built from scratch with both Australia and New Zealand. The Department for Business and Trade put this out a few days ago to say that these are now signed. They're going to come into force later this month. Mm. And you might be thinking, so what? You know, my clients don't trade with Australia and New Zealand, so what difference does this make to us? But I've actually linked here to a tweet from the UK Hospitality, where they're saying, actually, as a result of this new agreement, there's also an opportunity for visas to be given to under 30s as part of these trade agreements. Now, that for hospitality businesses could be fantastic, because they can now recruit from Australia and New Zealand desperately needed staff for their sector. So have you got a client that's struggling for staff? Are you a business that's struggling for staff? Could you bring in some Australia and New Zealand younger people under the age of 30 to work in your business? So you never really know, do you? You know, you might think, you see a headline and you think, oh, that's never going to affect my client. But there you go. That one really can. And here's another thing that you can. Sorry, go on, Alex.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, here's another thing that you might not think is that relevant to you, but how fantastic could this be if you introduce your client to the idea of the King's Award for Enterprise and they win one? And what a difference that could make to them as in their profile, in their business. So have a think through your client base to whether any will be eligible for entering for a King's Award for Business of Enterprise. Of course, the first one, it was always the Queen's Award for Enterprise. Mm. So these are now King's Awards for Enterprise, as we've had the coronation. And there are criteria as to, you know, which businesses can enter. So go and have a look at the link I put in the show notes, which is Export UK have tweeted, or exports.org.uk have tweeted more information about them. The reason that you know, they might want to get this is, it, or it could be that they are exporters, but they don't have to be exporters. There are other eligibility criteria that they might fall under. But if that is something which you can introduce your clients, how fantastic you know, would that be, that you could announce that you were supportive of your client getting one of these awards?
Yeah. That yes, absolutely. It's a brilliant. Brilliant way. And I can't remember if I mentioned this recently on a podcast, but I had a really quite you know, kind of insightful conversation with an accounting firm a couple of weeks back, and they were talking about their biggest desire is to be able to pick up the phone to their clients and feel as though they can talk to their clients without an agenda. And, you know, that agenda in this instance was not trying to sell them a service, not trying to chase them for documents, not trying to talk about a pending VAT bill that they haven't got enough money to cover, or whatever it might be. Yeah. And this is a really flipping great way to pick up the phone and to deliver, you know, sizable amounts of value into your clients and into, you know, your customer base, because that's what, you know, I always refer to clients as customers, because they are buying something from you, and therefore they have the power of their feet to move somewhere else if you're not giving them the value. But give them something that really needs nothing in return, but could have, you know, huge value for their business. So it's a really nice thing that I think a good thing to be aware of. I still, if I'm honest, Kirsty, and I know you always give me stick because I am still, and I recognize I am still a young buck, but I must admit, when I read that visas for under 30s, I thought, oh, that sounds pretty good.
No, not anymore, Alex. You're out of it.
Doesn't work for me anymore.
I know. I cried when I could no longer be in the list of the 42 under 42 business awards.
Yes, it is what it is. And then, so we talked a bit about the coronation. We're going to talk more about it now. And you know, some of the trade innovation pieces, but Article 3, I mean, I think you've almost taken, and we're going to merge my fun story into your Article 3.
Oh really?
Because, well, I was going to talk coronation, I was going to talk Eurovision, but you've punched me.
Early.
And Article 3 is about the economic boost. So yeah. Realistically, I think our listeners are probably being saved from the general smut that I bring to the fun story with some intellectual content around economic boost.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, we've had the coronation last week in the UK. Now we've got Eurovision coming up this weekend. I don't think you will be able to escape it in the UK this weekend. It's in Liverpool. They are going for it, obviously hosting on behalf of Ukraine. They've got blue and yellow flags all over the city, doing a really nice job with that. And you know, it's absolutely mental. You can see it all over the BBC up here. So it's going to be real fun. But I was interested actually to see, of course, a lot of cities had to apply to be the city that was going to host, and Liverpool won it, but lots of cities will have gone through a similar discussion about how much it was going to cost them to put it on and whether they would benefit from it overall. And the Liverpool City region went through that process. They studied the economic impact it would be. There's also an article which I'm linking to as well to show you the impact of the Eurovision on the economy, and it is huge. But the just looking back to last weekend, for example, the Centre for Economics and Business did some research about the impact of the 3-day coronation weekend. And of course, we know that it does affect productivity when we have an extra day of bank holiday. Mm. But overall, they're saying that throughout the whole of the UK, somewhere between £337 million and £1.2 billion will be what a range. Different people have different research, obviously, but they are saying that, you know, this sizable number of hundreds of millions, let's say, is what Visit England was saying was the boon in you know, English tourism as a result of the coronation weekend. And the similar thing will be happening in Liverpool with the Eurovision this weekend, and that's just great, isn't it? I mean, it's fun. It feels like a bit of fluff, but actually it's going to make a real difference to businesses on the ground that are being impacted by that.
Absolutely. Look, I am, as I said before, I'm a huge royalist. I was somewhat disappointed with the weekend's festivities, just because it was, you know, it was ceremony, it was pomp, it was pageantry. But I think we were so spoiled with what happened around the funeral, that nothing was ever going to compare to that in terms of like magnitude and celebration, really. So the coronation, I think, was fantastic, but you know, it was a 7 out of 10 versus, you know, the Queen was a, you know, Queen's funeral was a 10. But you just had to look at the Mall, you just had to look at you know, what was happening across London to see how much people were buying into it. And I had it on the TV on Saturday morning, listening to people coming in from all over Europe, people coming from America, people coming from all over to come and celebrate. And that's going to bring a huge amount of income to London. The stats from the estimations for Liverpool is that it will bring £40 million into the city, with more than 100,000 people expected to come for the weekend, which is, you know, that's really quite massive, staggering amount of money. It's also in the time when we're talking about recession, we're talking about cost of living crisis, et cetera, et cetera. 40 million quid across 100,000 people is £400 each. You know, that's people spending quite a lot of money for a weekend in Liverpool, you know, which is great. It's really good to see that there is that, you know, we're still holding on to that desire and willingness to go out and enjoy ourselves and support businesses across the city. So yeah, I think that was a really nice pickup, and I hope it goes well. I don't know who's representing England, but or the Great Britain.
May she's called. Yeah, I think the worry, of course, from the government point of view, is they're going to be thinking, oh no, the inflation starts again, because the more we spend, the more inflation goes up. It's worth mentioning today the Bank of England have just announced another 0.25%. So we're up at 4.5% now. Interest rates are impacted by inflation, which is impacted by events. So yeah, it's but it's a short-term high. We needed it.
Exactly. And I think interestingly, and there's lots of stuff that Paul has sent out recently through, I think it's our Accounting Bites channel, you know, not the same, you know, the increase in interest rates by another 0.25% is not having actually the impact that people thought it might do on borrowing, with long-term borrowing actually becoming cheaper now. And the longer you borrow, the less it's actually costing you. So it's funny how the markets and the economy work on that. And if that sounds a bit alien to anyone listening and you haven't seen any of our content, then hit either myself or Kirsty up on LinkedIn or through email, alex.clark@capitalize.com. And we'll send you some more information and insight on that, because it is something that's really useful to
The lenders are looking longer term, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably a really good opportunity for me to remind those that are new to Capitalize. Our vision, as I say every week, is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over business finance. We want every small business to be able to identify the risks they might face, explore how they stand from a credit perspective, and choose the right funding that fits their business. So for those of you that are new to the podcast this week, you tuned in for a bit of Accountex love, don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Please do subscribe. And if you go into our Spotify or Apple or wherever it is you get your podcast from, library, you'll see a fantastic back catalogue of other interviews we've done. The one with the gentleman from the RAC last week, amongst a whole host of other really quite interesting and esteemed guests. Next Friday, we will be back with another interview in our series. So do make sure you tune in next week. And for those of you that would like to find out a little bit more about Capitalize, go to www.capitalize.com. Kirsty always gives me stick off air for saying www. But at least I don't say HTTPS.
True.
But thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time for our regular breakfast service. If Kirsty is ever able to get out of Accountex, she'll be back. And I wish everyone a lovely weekend.
I'm looking forward to seeing my desk, put it that way. Thanks, Alex.